Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. So much to discuss today. So, and in fact, this may end up being a two-part series on the Nancy Guthrie case concerning facts versus fiction, what's out there versus what isn't really accurate, where the information comes from. So did a deep dive on several topics. I always like to stay within an hour, so hopefully we'll be able to knock out my deep dive facts. Many of them are fiction, but we're going to go through them because I think it's really important. I talked about doing a spreadsheet, and certainly this is going to be the first half of it. But it takes a long time. I can't tell you how long it takes to deep dive a thought that is out there, either on social media or a YouTube creator has said it. It's out there somewhere, and then you have to backtrack it. Well, wait a minute. Where did that come from? Well, there it goes back to this, but then where is that come from? So what's the genesis of the information? And that's what we're going to be deep diving today in a lot of different areas, because there is a lot out there. This reminds me so much, everyone, of the Idaho 4 case, really just how that case all started, all the speculation. But in that case, there was 5 weeks to speculate. And then they had the perpetrator nabbed. In this case, we have now 101 days. We're through 100 days and into 101. And I hope you catch Justin Lum's special that he did last night. It was really good, I think. You know, he's there in Phoenix and kind of at the pulse of everything. And, you know, I think people in Phoenix particularly, they feel this. I talked about the Scottsdale case, which I still can't even get any confirmation that that's unrelated. I definitely understand that the two individuals that did the home invasion and took the individuals, meaning they didn't take them out of the house, but they took their freedom from them. They kidnapped them by statutory terms, legal terms, took their freedom away from them, and then beat them and demanded cryptocurrency. I still can't find any information that says whether that could be linked or not linked, because they haven't gone back to the original people. Maybe they're just unable to, the Signal app people that purportedly were behind that. But again, a lot of intersection. But let's get started on the cause at hand, facts versus fiction. What's really true? What's really not true? Okay, so I had to dig deep on this, and we're going to just talk about very specific facts. So one thing everybody's been talking about, and I actually even addressed it yesterday, was on the vehicle. Okay, this is Nancy's vehicle being towed. This was the best picture I could find related to the vehicle being towed. You could see it pretty clearly there. It's a Subaru, and this is the important part. We're able to make out the actual license plate information there. You can kind of see it. And you're going to see where this comes into play. So yesterday I said, it's my understanding that I haven't seen any proof that the vehicle was returned. And a lot of channels are saying that. Well, I found the proof. It took me forever, But I found it. And the, part of the reason it took forever is the Bureau did a really good job of obscuring the plate when they seized the vehicle. Her vehicle was seized on February 6th. We've talked a lot about that. February 6th, you know, the fact that, again, this happened on the 1st. You only have one chance at a crime scene. But yet, if you look, they actually did the crime scene multiple times, including on the 6th when they went back to seize this car. Typically, you would always seize. It's just one big crime scene and you take everything you need on the first time. And then you take it and you preserve it, much like we saw in the Idaho case where they made sure nobody could get in or out, because sometimes what you seize, it might lead you to need to go back. So seized on February 6th, fact. This is the vehicle, fact. This is the license plate, fact. Now, this is how we know it was given back. This is film footage that was caught by a YouTuber on March 11th. On March 11th, we know that the Subaru was not in police custody. So seized on February 6th, released sometime before or after March 11th. You can make out the license plate enough to tell it's a matching license plate. Again, I'll put them up here. You can see the license plate. You can make out those letters and numbers, and you can see it's the same vehicle. And again, this was actually came out of Nancy Guthrie's house, her driveway. So many people ask, and they want to know because they're trying to figure out how much connectivity there could be with the family being involved. I mean, I think that's what why everybody really cares about this, right? They're trying to figure out, oh my gosh, if they still have Nancy's car, that could mean it has something to do with the family. The car was taken in those midnight hours and so forth. Look, they took it and they released it. It's 100% factual. The car has been released. It's not being kept as evidence. It was processed and returned. You do not, in my experience, return a vehicle when, if a murder takes place inside, if it is a crime scene. Okay. So I just wanted to point that out. And that's why I think this is really significant. It was returned. And that's why it's very significant that a lot of different channels, I'm not going to name them, are saying the vehicle wasn't returned. It's and I love this, Marilee Riley. Facts are stubborn things. And Case Files 365, I love that name, by the way. 365 for every day in the year. Thank you for joining the channel. I really appreciate it. So, yes, for those who just said that, we are on reality turf. I tell you, these rabbit holes, and I think this will be only our first show we do on this. I think I'm going to have one more to alleviate all of the facts versus fiction that are out there, but we're going to go one by one today. All right. Expirated blood on the porch. First of all, I want to talk about the difference between expirated blood versus aspirated blood. And I'm talking from the standpoint of being a tactical medic since 2003. I keep up my certification every 2 years. I have to take all my tests, and I never like that. And it's coming up again because I do it every odd year. Expirated blood is things like coughing, expelled, comes out of you. Aspirated is the opposite. That's when you aspirate, you take a fluid. It could be blood. It could be water, anything. It comes in you and it causes, it can cause death even when you aspirate. A lot of older people die. And so in any event, that is the situation. As far as, and I just saw something up there that's not true. They did kept DVD's car. They didn't keep DVD's car. I don't know on that case. I studied that case closely, but I have never studied whether the car was returned. In other words, the black Tesla, whether it was returned to him. I don't know on that case. All I can tell you is as an FBI agent, and FBI federal protocols are sometimes different. They're different than local protocols. And so for those who are in here saying, listen, it's gone, it's been auctioned off, it's gone. I have no doubt if you know that fact to be true. I don't, only because I haven't studied it. I can just tell you typically we keep our vehicles until the case is adjudicated. And then of course we get rid of it. But that's how we are with evidence at the, I'm just going to describe FBI protocol. When I take evidence in my experience, what I've done as the case agent, and remember the case agent is pretty much in charge of what you do. Yes, oftentimes you have to get your supervisor to sign off, but the supervisor really, really trusts you, typically, if you have a good working relationship. They're not, the beauty of the FBI is you don't have that micromanagement that I think can exist in other things. And it depends, of course, is the vehicle used in a crime as opposed to the vehicle is not. There's a lot of considerations. But I can tell you, for me, as a case agent, I kept my evidence until the end. And what did I do at the end? As soon as the case is adjudicated, I either burned things, I gave it back. In other words, if an attorney, say, is involved and they say, listen, our client's in prison for the next 50 years, go ahead and burn anything you got. Once everything is over, the appeals and so forth. And then you go back in and you can contact relatives. You can ask, obviously, if the lawyer gives you. I just want to tell you that is how the FBI protocol is. So the vehicle was given back. It was processed, and that's where it stands. And I don't believe from the facts we know. Okay, sorry. I'm doing facts versus fiction. I'm not going to get into a lot of opinions, but I wanted to explain that protocols can be different. And it depends on whether a murder happened in a vehicle. Is it a crime scene? Is it not? For instance, if somebody is found dead in a car, you're going to process that, but you're going to give that back. If a horrible, vicious murder take place in the car, you know, that's might be a different set of circumstances, and each department and so forth has their own protocols. So what I speak on is what I know, FBI protocol. Again, I'm moving back to point number two of what has been said. There was never any blood that we know of that was aspirated, because that means was taken in and aspirated inward to the lung, bronchial trees, so on. We have no information of that because we don't have Nancy Guthrie to examine. Expiration means expired, coughed out, goes out. Do I think that a lot of different people say it wrong? Yes, I could have even said it wrong. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look. But remember, my belief had always been that it wasn't expirated. It was actual blood droplets that then petered off. Well, I found some new information today. And so I think that this is very interesting and very important. First of all, I'll say this, and this is what I got that's new. I have never seen, my pictures were never this crisp. I finally found, I say that, this is the crispest picture I have. And I found it actually in my library. I've been using a different picture. This is the blood that was on the porch of Nancy Guthrie. You can see there the foliage slash vines that were used by Porch Guy. Again, I'm not going to get into a lot of opinions here. I'm going to get into facts, but this is a fact. That's what this was. It's also a fact that it has been determined that this blood was Nancy's. Okay, fact. It's a fact that, as you can see here, you do not see any smudging, like footprints going through it, or, you know, a lot of people being there to smudge through it. You don't see that at all. And we've talked about that from the beginning. Now, I wanted to show you, let me see if I have this pick up. Yes, I wanted to show you this pick. So when I had Dale Lemberg and I, we had a worse picture, because the worst picture is the one that's floating around. I don't know how this great picture that I have, and I have it in my Nancy Guthrie library, which is huge at this point, as you can imagine. I don't know how I didn't grab the great picture versus the not great picture. But when you look at this, when a blood droplet drops, it makes these little impressions, okay? So let's go back to this really good picture we have now. You see all those little droplets around? Bam. But I'm going to tell you, and I went through with the less good picture with my good friend, Cheryl McCollum, Mac McCollum, crime scene investigator for decades. And then I also reviewed what Joseph Scott Morgan had to say. Because Joseph Scott Morgan, another friend of mine, great guy. We've talked back and forth. I really need to get him on the show. I really like Joseph Scott Morgan. But at the end of the day, I always said, listen, none of us know. If you are listening to anyone who says they know for sure, all I will say is this. You can only tell these things under a microscope. And how do you know under a microscope? And how do you know based on the serology? The serology is going to tell you, is this blood have mucus in it? When you expirate blood, you have spittle and you have serology that can tell you that. In other words, you're going to have mucus, phlegm, that would all be in that when you cough something up. Okay. So I've always said, listen, no one that I know of that is a true blood spatter expert, because that's different even from Cheryl McCollum or from Joseph Scott Morgan. They are definitely crime scene experts, and Joseph Scott Morgan is the bond, a forensic expert. But unfortunately, he's never seen any of this on the microscope and doesn't know exactly what it is. But I still greatly value his opinion because he's seen this a lot, and so has Cheryl McCollum. I also really admired the opinion of my dear friend Dale Lundberg, homicide detective, 10 years. We worked a case together. I think the world of him, that he and I, judging from, we had this less good picture. This is the good picture I've got up here, and it's fantastic. But the other picture, and it's so funny that I've had that. And when we compared it to what we know of a drop going down and then the spatter pattern it makes, this is just a drop, by the way. This is not expirated blood. This is strictly, so you can imagine all these little dots up here. If you're held in one spot, see, you have one, two, there's a gazillion big dots that we both believed went out. Again, we didn't have the best picture then. This is much better. This is why I'm changing my mind. And a good investigator, hopefully, when they get better information, better pictures, if I had this under a microscope and if somebody could have shown me whether there's spittle and whether there's mucus in this, you know, like I said, law enforcement knows, but we here on the outside don't know. But look at this picture I got. Look, you see this? Do you see these? First time I've really been able to see this. So here, and then I could see a couple now because it's such a great picture. Look at this, everyone, just to give you your bearings here. Look at this. See this? This shows me it's likely expirated blood, as opposed to this, what happens when a blood drop drops and it makes it look like it's expirated. So when you look at that, my dear friend Cheryl McCollum, Mac McCollum, I totally agree with you now. And just Joseph Scott Morgan, totally agree with you now. It's expirated based on this amazing picture that I actually had, and I've been using the worst picture, which I don't know how I missed this. So I was using a picture that wasn't as good, but look at this. Look at this all over. That can't be from a droplet spatter. It's from an expiration spatter. So, I mean, you heard it on the show the minute I had Cheryl come on. She talked about expirated blood. Of course, we talked about our belief that definitely Nancy was alive when she was taken. I believed she was gagged because from my experience, that has been my experience, is gagging. Or, you know, putting a gag so they can't talk, because you can't be driving around with a woman that you've just kidnapped and have her screaming in the trunk in case, I know it's 2:30 in the morning, but in case you're pulled over. Plus, you don't know how long you're going to have them. You know, where's your destination you're taking them to? You obviously want to keep them alive for a ransom if that's the, you know, case.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I also wanted to address this. Many people have noticed very early on. We talked about this early on, but I'm going to talk about it again because I still see it going around. That this was staged in terms of this, that the blood was there somehow before, and then when he used the ivy to grab, that it's on top, and that's how you can tell the spatter was there before. If we want to call it spatter, I would call it expirated blood, not spatter. When I think of spatter, and certainly it spatters here, but a lot of people want to equate that to somebody getting hit and the blood spatter that is reviewed. But I would certainly call any, even a droplet spatters. When any force forces the blood down, it makes a pattern. And this is strictly what the close-up is of a blood drop and the spatter, and why a less than amazing picture can be confusing. This is an amazing picture. But what I'm looking at is all of these drops over here, which Cheryl McCollum, the first one to say it three months ago, expirated. Joseph Scott Morgan, again, expirated. Obviously, if you have expirated blood, you are alive. But I don't think any of us disagreed that I know of that thought she wasn't alive at this point. I personally thought she was alive, certainly, at this early point. But I also believe she was gagged. Was she gagged later? I mean, I got to tell you, this is the craziest case because, of course, I keep looking at, and let me get this up really quick because it'll take 2 seconds. I keep reviewing as I'm, again, exploring what do we really know? What are the real facts that we can see with our eyes, witnesses that are believable versus having agendas that may or may not be that believable? What do we see on that porch starting on day 10? Let me see. This is not it. Sorry, I just got to find it really quickly. Give me 1 second. I'm pulling up the porch guy video. Wow, do I really have this much video? I do. Here we go. I go back to the absolute, and I wanted to pull this up because I want you all to see, there was no way, we talked about this for a second yesterday, there's no way that this came before she was abducted. Everybody knows that, right? We know that because you can watch the porch guy video, and I have a lot of stills to also show this. If you look on the porch, there's no blood there. And if you see, there's no blood. So we know this came after. You know, after he went in and got her. But I still can't get over the lackadaisicalness of this whole situation. I just can't. Yeah, the costume type look of this guy. Like almost like, hey, come on, let's go abduct somebody. I've said this ring is sophisticated, and I stick by that. The reason I stick by that is because I can tell you that those first two calls that Savannah and law enforcement acted upon as being definitely legitimately tied to the abductors, the FBI hasn't been able to trace them, everyone. That's a fact. An absolute fact. The Bitcoin address. Never taken. This guy is so nonchalant. All right, getting back to some facts. So anyway, I believe that this excellent photo and this particular part of this excellent photo shows expirated blood. Okay, that was point two. So car taken, car returned, definitely expirated, not aspirated, expirated. Number two, there's been a lot of discussion about the hair. I think it's just been confusing, and I wanted just to make it crystal clear because a lot of people thought the hair was new. The hair was seized day one of the investigation by Pima County. Seized day one. The only DNA we know about from inside the house are two things. The only thing they've talked about. I will never believe that there isn't other DNA if they did a good crime scene, because he had that mouth flashlight. I still don't believe he was in there long. We've talked about that, but I could talk about it again. But again, that's opinion. We're just focusing on facts versus fiction. So I just want to make it clear to everybody that it was a fact that the hair that the FBI is looking at now came from the house. That's a fact, undisputed. The FBI actually discussed it in an article, and I put it on my Twitter, the exact verbiage from the FBI. It was from day one. It was submitted to the FBI laboratory on April 16th. Facts. So day one fact, that's when the hair was recovered from inside. It's rootless. These are all facts. And as far as when it was finally submitted to Quantico for, quote, advanced testing, because they had expertise that the lab in Florida did not have. Again, according to the FBI's statement, they had asked for it from the beginning. And then they kind of did a plug to Pima County saying, I mean, a little poke, I should call it, saying we've always had the expertise. So it wasn't new expertise they got. So to be clear, hair seized the first, Hair turned over to the FBI lab the 16th. Hair submitted to the lab in Florida, you know, probably very soon after. Sheriff Nano said, I believe on the 2nd, the hair was given to their lab because his excuse was, we've worked at the lab all the time. They were doing it pro bono. And on top of that, they were, they had already been working on the DNA profiles of all the people that you would want to exclude or not exclude. So does that make sense to everybody? In other words, from day one, the first thing, we've talked a lot about the first thing you're going to do with Annie, and you're going to do with Tommaso, and you're going to do with Savannah and Cameron and the gardener and the maid and close friends that have been in the house. Not only are you going to interview them, you're going to swab them. You're going to swab, cheek swab, and get the profile. And that had been done early, when I say early, day one, and had been sent to their lab. So they were trying to save time. Remember, at the beginning, everybody was on the fast track to finding Nancy. Hopefully, you know, there was a lot of hope in finding her alive. Now that we're on day 101, there's less hope. So anyway, that's facts. Okay. DNA. I've kind of touched about this. There are only two known DNA samples that have been discussed publicly by law enforcement. One is the hair that not only Nanos has discussed multiple times. Two is the mixed sample that has more than two contributors. We talked to our our expert on DNA, and they said they just don't have the technology yet to divide up more than two. They just don't have that technology yet. Fact. Every DNA expert agrees on that. And recall, they specifically said more than two. So we only know about two DNA samples. I'm not talking about the gloves. I'm talking about it just for everybody. I'm referring to what's been found inside the house, because the gloves are pretty much a complete long shot. Is it possible he ditched them out? I tell you, I've seen crazier things. I've seen people ditch knives, guns, bomb-making material, trying to think back to different cases, clothing, masks. I mean, completely unsophisticated guys. They're like, ooh, got to get rid of this. They throw it in a trash can. I'm not even kidding you. Throw it out the window. They get rid of it quickly. So it's good that they're looking at that because, you know, I mean, look at what we're dealing with. I say what we're dealing with, but he's got everybody in law enforcement fooled. He's been able to get away with this despite all the clues, despite his whole face being on there. And you can't tell me, I know this is an opinion, you can't tell me his mama doesn't recognize him. You just can't, I can't believe that. Mama, girlfriend, brother, I don't believe it. They just probably haven't seen it. Okay, going on again, focusing on facts and fiction, we've gone through four. Nancy's car, expirated blood, hair, overall DNA. Annie Tommaso family, have they been cleared? This is what we have to go on. He's lost all credibility. Let's just face it. Not all, but a lot of credibility. He just has. He just has. And so for that reason, the statement doesn't have the punch. It doesn't have the impact that it had. But I will tell you this. For those of you who are interested, please go back and look at everything, everyone who was accused, the boyfriends, the roommates, of slaughtering the four Idaho students, Kaylee, Maddie, Zanna, and Ethan. Take a look at that. I feel it's literally just replayed. Just boom, press the replay button. Boom. So just putting it out here, this is a fact. This statement is a fact, meaning it happened. People can believe it. People can't believe it. Obviously, a lot of people don't believe it because, I can't believe last night. And a lot of people, this is I think, what for me, and I laugh about this because, trust me, in the end, if it turns out that Annie and Tommaso staged this wild, epic situation, put it together, had a buddy go up on the porch, just said, come along, Nancy, here's my gun. We're walking out to the car, or I'll carry you. And we're behind this, and then she later passed, and they couldn't get their money. I mean, just think how crazy this all sounds. But, okay, sorry. I mean, I'm going to be holding the ball because I've said my firm belief at this point. But I just wanted to point out, it's not fact or fiction that they've been cleared. This is a fact from Nanos's perspective, okay? Fact. Okay, moving on. Map. There was a map that I've gone over. Not extensively here. I think I've done it more on my Twitter page, but this is the map that was submitted to Annie Guthrie's. I have talked actually about it pretty extensively here in an early episode that Annie sent out to her neighborhood group. And I talked a little bit about that because I don't know if any of you are in a neighborhood like that anymore. I mean, they're few and far between. We have that in the neighborhood I live in, but I live in a neighborhood of, well, there are some young, quasi young, but mostly everybody is, it depends on your definition of young, 40 to 90. And in our group, we look out for one another. I've talked about how e-bikes were stolen from my neighbor. The first thing he did was text me at like 7 a.m. on Saturday. This was a few weeks ago. You know, Jen, do you have your Ring Cam footage? But my Ring Cam doesn't face his house. Although I did just get more Ring Cams. But nevertheless, my point is this was sent to our neighborhood group, fact. Sent by Annie Guthrie, fact. Why? What was she asking for? Fact. She was asking for, hey, does anybody have Ring camera, Nest camera, any camera that you can help find my mom? When was it sent? Day one, fact. Fact. A lot of people have said this is so suspicious. It's so suspicious. Why would she say this? Do people think she would have tracked out her and Tommaso's getaway route or something and shared it with everybody? I mean, at the end of the day, she wanted her mom. Hey, these are the back roads. These are roads I take. Remember this? See, I want to point out this big, see in the middle, the big one? That is Annie and Tommaso's house, as I recall. So this is Nancy's, and this is the route. It goes right by their house and then out. She's trying to show how you would get in the back roads where there's no lighting and everything, how you would get to a main thoroughfare to leave. These are the choke points. Oh, I should go over choke points. Fact. These are choke points that I hope the FBI has geofenced, since it was seemingly unfruitful that there were cell phones used. At least if there were, we do not know about it. Here's a choke point. Do you see the, it's where you can't, it's where you have to go one way or the other. You're choked when you come to it. You have to go left or you have to go right. Choke point. Another choke point on this route. There's all these choke points where you have to make a decision to go left or right, not where you don't have to make a decision. These are all choke points on here that we can visibly see, and there's likely others. You can see some other choke points on these smaller roads that are just lighter in the back, where a person could go left or right. They're light, but a person could make a different decision and go left. These are the choke points, multiple choke points that I keep talking about. It's fact that they're choke points. Has the FBI looked at any of that in terms of geofencing? That I don't know. That's what I would have done 100% at that time of night. But anyway, it was confusing to a lot of people whether this was even her map. It was her map. It was sent out. Editorially, I'll say it makes sense. I would have done the same thing. When you know your area more than other people, you're just, and you're talking to your neighbors, I think you can be desperate for help. Okay. Let's go on to number, let's see, we've done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, on to number 7. Has Annie asked for a loan? You'll see it everywhere. Right before the disappearance, Annie asked for a loan. Annie asked for a loan. Now, this was interesting because this took some tracing, because if you look, it's plastered on a lot of channels. And when I traced it back, guess where it goes back to? A YouTuber. A YouTuber, in my opinion, pushing an agenda because it helps them. It helps them grow. Listen, you just take a look, for instance, on my page. Just take a look at the different shows I've done. I've done 100 shows now, counting this one. 100 shows. Every day I've done a morning report, I believe I've only missed one. I believe I missed one. And I can tell you, if you look at the channels that are running with the conspiracy, that are saying it's Annie and Tommaso or Savannah, believe me, the Savannah is crazy out there too. It's that's all ramped up. If you look at those channels, they are doing so great. If you look at my channel, you know, if I normally have, I'm a small channel, but I treasure each of you. And, you know, I hope we keep growing for people who want facts. Not everybody wants facts. Some people like the drama. I mean, that's evident. But if you look at those channels, they're doing so great, because everybody wants to hear that. They want to hear that it's Nancy and Tommaso. That's just a fact. That is a true fact. So if you look at, for instance, I did, how was Tommaso cleared? How was the family? How do you clear somebody? I did a whole segment on that. People are pretty interested in that. But if you look at the one that I did that specifically dialed down on Tommaso, how could he or people he's associated with possibly have led to this? Which I still believe. I mean, it could be people associated with Savannah. It could be people associated possibly with Annie that led to her being targeted, right? For sure, Savannah, let's be honest. She had the money. And if you believe this was initially a kidnap for ransom, which I do, at the end of the day, one that got foiled, one that didn't work, ditch the body. Everybody quiet. Two people involved. Possibly one isn't with us. I talked about that weeks and weeks ago. I know now everybody's talking about it. But Annie did not ask for a loan. I can't find any documentation. I can't find where Savannah said it. I can't find where Annie said it. Law enforcement hasn't said it. I can't find any paperwork. I can't find anything. What I can find is a YouTuber that dangled the carrot. Not based on anything. Not based on anything. Fact or fiction? Did Annie ask for a loan? Made up.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Okay. Number 8. Are we on 8? Look, if I can't keep track. Number 8. Was there a spike in Nancy Guthrie's pacemaker? Was there a spike recorded? You know where it came from? I traced it all the way back to February 5th. Thank goodness I get up early. I get up, make my son pancakes, sit down, and research. And of course, at night too, because I'm an insomniac. And I am a true crime junkie. No spike. No spike. You know who said there was a spike? You know where it all comes from? February 5th, Dick Reiner on CNN. He's Dick Cheney's cardiologist. He said, total guess. But a good guess, I think, you know, that if Nancy Guthrie was abducted and when porch guy would have approached her in the house, that her pacemaker would have shown a spike. He was trying to explain that something like that, seeing a guy like this, seeing a gun, could cause somebody, it would make their heart race. I mean, I think that's pretty logical. And his point was that would register. Completely hypothetical. So we don't know a time. We don't even know if there was a spike. And then you know what happened? Some FBI agents and some other talking heads ran with it. They ran with it. And they're trying to add it to a timeline. They're trying to add it to a timeline. Trust me, we're going to talk about this timeline now. They're trying to add it to a timeline to just add drama, as far as I can tell. You know, drama. And that drama is that, you know, this panic. Oh, she, you know, blah, 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 blah. We don't know. It's just like the people saying that she was drugged. There's no information about needles. There's no information that she was put out. Nothing. It's just made up, contrived. And so was the spike. So when you see somebody talking about the spike, know where it came from. It came from Dick Reiner, CNN, February 5th, Dick Cheney's cardiologist, I believe the cardiologist Reiner's, his first name, I believe, is Dick also, saying that it would spike. So that's the genesis fact. No spike, that it, there's any proof of any spike. And this is the genesis. Okay, that's eight. Number nine. This is a big one. This is a big one. We talked a bit about it yesterday as well. And that is this timeline. Now, it's important to understand when this timeline came out. This timeline came out on February 4th. The reason that's important is you have to ask yourself, how much work was done on February 4th, by February 4th? With, again, he said 400 officers working it. We know later, hundreds, that's with an S, according to Cash Patel, I have the recording. We know hundreds of agents were standing by and I think were able to be utilized around day four. So they, on day four, basically it's a force multiplier. So you can't really think about it at, in terms of, you can't really think about it in terms of a day, like what you would accomplish on the third day of an event. You have to think of it and take it times 100. All these people working, all these people working on it to make this. And you always use approximants. Because again, it goes down to not just the second, right? 50 seconds. This will go down, you know, some of this information they'll have down to the hundreds and even thousands. So you just always use approximants. And he pointed that out. But they have pretty good times here. But does anybody believe this? That's the thing. I'm saying because it's day four, they had a lot of information by then. And I think one of the pieces of information they would have is obviously the 911 call. So this 1203 911 call, that's the time of it, everyone. Whether anybody likes it or not, that's the time. The big thing is the 11:56 a.m., right? That's kind of the big one. And it's kind of a big one because we have Sheriff Nanos, who is, has said a lot of different things. Because Sheriff Nanos talks extremely generally about everything when he talks. Let's listen to a couple things he said that goes against the 11:56.
9:45 in the evening, her children left her off. At some time earlier that morning, they got a call from somebody at the church who said, hey, your mom's not here.
Okay, sometime earlier in the morning. Completely general. Let's go.
Here, the family went to the house. I'm thinking they spent some time looking for her themselves before they called us. So I'm guessing.
So he's guessing. He's just throwing out numbers and everything right now. Here, he's just guessing. He tells you he's guessing. I can tell by how he's talking. He's guessing. It's like, yeah, you know, kind of this, kind of that. And any good communicator in this position would say, I don't know. That's the correct answer. I don't know. That's the proper answer. But he can't help himself. He doesn't say, I don't know. And he just starts guessing. So let's listen.
Maybe
to
they
him.
Got there around 11. So they did some.
He did. He's a guess. Around 11. I'm just guessing. He's told you he's just guessing. Okay.
Searching and realized we need some help. And they called 911.
Do you have any idea what time Nancy would have been taken from the home?
There's a lot of things working there, and I just can't say that right now.
See, that's a proper answer. A lot of things working. I don't know it all because I've got hundreds of officers out there with lots of different information. For instance, sorry, they would have already looked by day four. They've already looked at the car information, people. At least some of it. They're going to already have looked at Annie and Tommaso's phones. This would have been so high priority, everyone. And he already said he had 400 officers on it early. Plus a lot of other people helping, right? They knew so much information by day four. It's not a normal day four. It's a day four with the bell being run, all hands on deck. We got to find her. We're pulling phones. We're pulling phone information. We're looking at all of this. So by day four, they had that timeline. This is earlier when he's just totally winging it.
Yes.
You have it.
Sorry.
That's give us a little bit more of a timeline? Because you said she didn't leave on her own. She was last seen at 9:45. She wasn't reported missing until noon.
I believe what happened there was it at 9:45 in the evening, her children left her off at some.
See, even there he misspeaks. It was Tommaso. It wasn't her children. It was Tommaso. Annie wasn't even there. I'm just trying to point out this is very early. It's so early. He doesn't know. He's speaking out of his arse, people. He's blowing air. And that has been the problem. Do I think this is purposeful, that he's trying to mislead an investigation? Do I think that he's in cahoots? This is absolutely what you see in these cases where these sheriffs and other officers are should keep their mouth shut early on if they don't know it. Or better yet, this is how the FBI did it. When I did press conferences, I never did press, it was behind the camera on things. But on the cases that were complicated, we would hold a big press conference. And when I was the case agent, they would say, just like in, have you ever seen the movie The Accountant? Which, by the way, is one of my favorite movies. It is the best. It rocks. It's a little violent. A little violent. It's not for everyone. And in those press conferences, the head, he always says, let me hand that off to my case agent for more information. The case agent should be talking or a PIO, but he's politicking everyone. So he's just talking. He's just blowing wind, guessing. Oh, I think it was about 11. I think the family dropped her off. No, guess what? It was Tommaso. And guess what? It wasn't 11. So, by the way, Ben Affleck just got sued. Anyway, you heard this. I'll play the end again.
Earlier that morning, they got a call from somebody at the church who said, hey, your mom's not here.
And that led to a lot of problems.
The family went to the house.
Remember that? Somebody from the church. It really wasn't somebody from the church. It was her church group, right? That was at a private home that she met with after COVID. She liked to meet with this small circle of folks that would watch church together. So it was, you see, I've just pointed out five misstatements, misspeaks. And it's truly, I don't think, I mean, listen, I'm one of his biggest critics, but let's keep it real. Let's be fair. And being fair, his problem here isn't purposefully lying, I don't think. It's just talking out of his arse. All right, let's go on to the next one.
Dingy, like around 2 o'clock in the morning. Is there any way to indicate to people, hey, look around 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. to help them identify what they might have?
You know, I really don't want to get into narrowing down the time.
because narrowing it down means we could miss some tips and leads. We're working on with the data we've submitted for investigative analysis. We're working to see if that time can be tightened up. But for now, we're going with what we told you earlier. She was dropped off at 9:30, and she was found to be missing at about 11 o'clock Sunday morning.
Hey, again, talking out of his arse, guessing, dropped off about 9:30. You know, this is the problem. In a case that's, in any case, it's just too important to not know your facts. And if you don't know them, you tell everyone, listen, but he's speaking in abouts to cover himself, right? He's saying, well, about, you know, in that neighborhood, right? So I just want everybody to keep in mind, in my opinion, these aren't lies. These are things he said. I'm pointing out facts. All of this came out of his mouth. But this is before somebody on his team, and I guarantee it wasn't his, put together this timeline, because you had all of these people working on it. You had everybody working on it. Look at how specific. 5:32, Nancy travels to local family's home. They have that because by then they had the information from the Uber. 9:48, not rounded up to 10 or down to 9:45. No, 9:48. Do you see how we can tell, having put together these timelines, that these are specific? They're from something very specific, the garage door information. 9:48. They have that time. 9:50, the door closes. And again, these aren't rounded down to seconds. So we don't really know whether this was a full 2 minutes, whether it was closer to three, or whether it was just over one, right? Depending on whether that's 9:48.1 and 9:50.1, that's a full 2 minutes, but it could have been lesser. I'm sorry, it could have been. Yeah, it could have been lesser. Was that 9:48.99? So almost 9:49, where it's really only 1 minute. I mean, we just don't know. They've only rounded it to these seconds. That's all we have to work with. But this is not Sheriff Nanos. I promise you that. This is his team that put together a timeline based on the investigation and everything they had looked at digitally. Okay? That's how we know. Let me read this one. Would have been better. Oh, exactly. That's what the Bureau does. The Bureau's like, listen, I'm damned if I do and damned if I don't. If I come out and say something and anybody misconstrues, or I misspeak, or I talk generally and I'm wrong and off like he is, what a mess. And that's what a mess we have with every time he speaks. But, you know, then the people would be clamoring. So, oh my gosh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Yes, bring Nancy home. Christine Camley just joined as a member. Excited. Thanks so much, Jim, for your amazing fact-based analysis. Fabulous channel and community. Bring Nancy home. I tell you, the chats here are so fun. I try not to glance down, because when I do glance down, I get sidetracked sometimes. You guys can probably tell that. So trying to stay on point, but I have to tell you, the chat is so fun to watch and see your thoughts. And I love looking at the comments late at night when I have some free time to go through all your comments. So I thank you, and I care about what you think for sure. All right. So you understand this. Let me put a different one up. Sorry, Christine, only because that one's a little thick and I want to read this. Let's see. Back to these, you see these times again, they're not rounded up. These aren't him saying about. This is from factual information gained. So we know the doorbell camera disconnects, right? According to the timeline, according to the investigation. This I trust. This.
I'm thinking they spent some time looking for her themselves before they called us. So I'm guessing maybe they got there around 11. So they did some searching.
I mean, you can't think, oh, I think they did. Maybe they didn't. I don't know how much. Just guessing, everyone. And then everybody latches on kind of to what they want on that that helps their narrative. I'm just playing it for you all to decide. But these are going to be from the pacemaker, from the camera that was up on that roof. 11:56. How do they know that? Everybody's arguing with that because Nanos is, I just went over it, saying all this. Not 11:55, not 11:57. This is from digital information. Them arriving there. They don't say what it is, whether that's because the door goes up. But they know it, and they know 11:56. Everyone, that's when the family checked on Nancy. That's a fact. This is the fiction.
Guys, we need some help, and they called 911.
Do you have any idea what time Nancy would have been taken from the home?
Fact, from the team, from the digital analysis. Hold your ground on this, guys, because that's facts that are going to be supported by forensics. And I always say this, digital forensics they have no agenda. Whenever I did a trial, was involved in a trial, right, as the case agent, my number one thing that I always wanted to end with was a huge chart on the phone analysis, typically, if I'm proving a conspiracy or who did what when. Huge phone analysis, something easy to read, not something wackadoodle that you can't even make heads or tails that you see. Literally something that has the person in the middle and who they talk to, and then the times, because they get to take all these back to them. And you know, every single juror that I've ever been involved with debriefing, because a lot of times you get to do that and it's so fun. They will sit, they can ask you questions, you can ask them questions. I've told you that for me, it is the most eye-opening and important part. I loved it when the judges would allow that. And they always said, we love the digital analysis. We just love it because they know it's not guesswork. It's not, you know, it is what it is. So take this to the bank. Don't take those words to the bank, please. Let me see if I know I'm on number 9, and look at our time. Our time is not good. I've already gone over. Okay, I'll say this one briefly. Annie's car was seized on February 4th and was returned on March 15th. So it wasn't seized early. It was seized on February 4th, likely because the Bureau came in and wanted more follow-up. They wanted to get the analysis from the computer in that vehicle, and they wanted to be able to cross-reference that with everything else they had to be able to know whether Annie and Tommaso were involved and whether their words that Annie and Tommaso said in interviews matched up to the vehicle, the information that has no agenda. All right, everyone. That is it for today. I'll probably do more fact and fiction tomorrow because there's so much out there. But I hope you enjoyed it. I so appreciate each of you because I know you're seeking facts. You're not seeking junk, and it's out there everywhere. It's I tell you, there's this one channel I just actually listen to for humor because it's basically just all made up with little, it's kind of like, Have you ever watched a show? A good example is Titanic. Titanic is based on the factual history that Titanic sank. But all the people, you know, yes, I know Astor was on there and the unsinkable Molly Brown, those are facts. But all the interplay and all of that, it's so funny because it's just made up to make a beautiful, fun, amazing, by the way, I love Titanic movie, right? It's to engage you. But, you know, the love stories and all that, all those details, no one knows whether any of that is true. It's just made up. And that's fine. It's a movie. Nancy Guthrie's case is not a movie. And the facts are few and far between. And for me, that's all I really care about. All the rest is noise and just part of a Titanic script. So anyway, if you want facts, we're here for you. Not going to be a lot of drama, although sometimes spicy gin comes out. But I appreciate each and every one of you so much. And thank you to the mods who do such a great job every day and day out. Again, this is not a reality show. It's not Titanic. Let's keep Nancy and her family in our prayers. And until next time, may justice be served for the Guthrie family, for Nancy Guthrie, and for all who are missing.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.